You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back, folks, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. I want to tell you, a portion of tonight's broadcast brought to you by Minuteman Stove. Folks, go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Minuteman Stove. You know, look, we know things are bad. We know we have to prepare. We know we have to prep. One of the things that I really failed to take into account is, yeah, sure, you've got some freeze-dried or long-term stored food. You've got it in your pantry, perhaps, or you've got canned food. How are you going to heat it if, for example, the power is knocked out because of a bad storm and you're without power for a week or two? Well, Minuteman Stove has got the solution. It's an ammo can reinforced. It's a high-end product for a reasonable price. It's Minuteman Stove. It's a way to heat your heat anything. It's a rocket stove. Go to MinutemanStove.com. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Minuteman Stove. You can read all about it, but it's got our endorsement, Erica. Well, we've all really put it through its paces. It's a great product. And also, HealthMasters.com. You know something? I'm feeling a lot better now. And I joked during the week. I said, you know, man, I'm pounding down Sudafed and that, you know, all that stuff. And but really the fact of the matter is this. I've taken a lot of nutritional supplements from Health Masters. They've got great products. So visit healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. And remember, I was talking about the Minuteman Stove. Well, how about long-term storable food? Of course, American Survival Wholesale. Christian-owned, veteran-owned company, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. So there you have it. With us, and I'm so excited, man. We have now... In studio tonight is Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer, CoachDaveLive.com. Now, he's a guy that I look up to because he's a man of action. He's a solution guy, all right? We talk about problems all the time, don't we? Every radio program you probably listen to talks about problems. But I've gotten emails to this effect, well, you don't provide solutions. Well, Coach Dave is a solution man. Coach, let's open up now. I'm going to turn you loose. A couple of issues. Leadership, especially within the church and among, leadership in general. And also, as we go down the line, we could talk about, the fact that, you know, courts, we got some issues with the courts. They don't make laws, but we think they do. So, wherever you want to start, go ahead.
Well, first of all, this just popped into my head. I spoke to you before the show. A year ago today, Ken Hovind got out of jail.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
A year ago today.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's still going through some hard times, but he's, he's back in the battle. But it's a great thing. And I was just thinking about Kent, as you said that. And
a year ago today.
A year ago today, he got out of jail. I'll tell a real brief story about that, Doug, that whole thing. We were involved with that too, folks. Listen, folks. I'm going to tell you something. If you will learn to make yourself available, you will be amazed what the Lord will do to you. Wow. The Lord will do through you things that sometimes all he needs is a vehicle to move through. That's all he needs. And I listen, there is nothing special about me. I'm a high energy guy, you know that, and the Lord's given me the ability to be able to communicate. But other than that, I'm just a guy, man. That's all I am, right? But I'm an action guy, and I try to make things happen. And you know, when the whole thing broke loose with Ken Hovind, it's been about a year and a half ago. I found out about it. I don't know how I found out about it. I passively knew Kent from about 10 years earlier when I did some radio in Columbus, Ohio, and he was on our show. So I thought, man, they're going to try him again. I couldn't believe it. So I grabbed a bunch of guys like we did and went down to Pensacola, Florida, and we stood outside and held signs, and they were putting him on trial. We won't go into
I mean, it was something stupid, wasn't
well,
it?
Well, they caught it. Well, we're finding out now, Doug, it was that structuring thing. IRS was charging him with structuring. That's how they put him in jail. And then they were going to keep him in there for 20 years for mail fraud from jail. Think about that a minute. Mail
for
fraud 20, from jail.
20 years.
Yep.
Okay, yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
So we get down there, and Rudy Davis, a lot of guys did a lot of great work down there. But I said, listen, man, I think part of the problem we're having here is we're counting on a hometown referee. In other words, Ken Hovind had a public pretender, right? Public defender.
Yeah.
And I don't know what you guys know about public defenders. Public defenders are paid for by the public. They get their paycheck from the same place the judge gets her paycheck from the clerk. They all get it from the same pile. So the public defender, he's probably going to put on a good defense, but he ain't sold out for Ken Hovind. So right. I said to the group down, well, Hank, let me back up a second. So we're down there for that first trial, and we're just praying, Lord, give us a hung jury. Just give us one, Lord. Whatever, just give us one. We figured get a hung jury, he's free, right?
Yeah.
Well, the verdict comes down. It's a hung jury. It's a hung jury. I think, oh, praise the Lord. And then we find out 2 days later, they charge him again. So now we got about 6 weeks, and they're going to retry Ken Hovind. And I thought, what are we going to do here? So, folks, I'm giving you a little bit of behind the scene thing of the miracle of God and what God will do if you make yourself available. And so I said to the group that we were working with, and it was quite a conglomerate of people who were really trying to do the best they could to get Ken Hovind out of jail. Like he was railroaded for sure.
Right.
Church deserted him, by the way. Many churches that he went, and over 20 years, they deserted him. Man.
I got your back. I got your back,
yeah,
buddy.
They didn't have him.
Okay. Yeah.
So I said, listen, we got to find somebody to help him, an attorney. So we were raising a little bit of money, not much, and we'd raised, I don't know, about, I won't tell you how much because it wouldn't be fair to the attorney who we eventually got. Here's how this thing works. I'm on the phone with Sheila Zielinski, our mutual friend, and
sure.
I'm telling Sheila what's going on because she knows I'm down there and we're working at it. And I said, man, Sheila, I can't find an attorney. They had a local attorney said that this local attorney, good defense attorney in Pensacola, said he wouldn't do it for less than $400,000.
Wow.
He said it will ruin your career here in this court district.
I knew it was expensive, but 400.
And I got a pocket full of money. That's about it, Doug. Very small pocket full.
Right.
And I tell this story to Sheila. She says, well, let me make a call. She makes a call to Stuart Rhodes. You know that name?
Yeah. Oathkeepers.
Stuart Rhodes gets a hold of me. He says, hey, call this guy. So I call this guy named Bill Olson. Never heard of Bill Olson in my life. Called Bill Olson. This funny story, Bill, if you're listening, he probably isn't. I call Bill Olson out of the blue, right?
Right.
So I say, hey, Mr. Olson, this is Coach Dave Dobma. You probably don't know who I am, but I'm involved with the Ken Hovind trial. He says, hang on a minute. Honey, guess who I'm on the phone with? He's reading one of my commentaries at that moment on News with Views. He's reading it.
Oh, man.
Is that something? That's something only God can do, right?
That's right.
So I had immediate credibility. I didn't have to grovel and all that
right.
stuff. And I explained the whole thing to him. And he said, well, listen, how much money do you have? And I told him, and it wasn't much. He says, listen, I'll tell you what. He says, we do a lot of work with the U.S. Justice Foundation. Let me talk to them, and let's see if maybe we can get on top of this and see what we can do. Herb Titus, I don't know if you know that name. He's one of the great constitutional
yep.
attorneys in America, is partner with Bill Olson. And so I said, cool. And then Bill Olson said this to me. He said, you know, we win a lot of these things before they even go to trial, Coach. He said, the feds are so sloppy that they don't cross every T, they don't dot every I. He says, sometimes we win before we even have to go to court.
Interesting.
So we get Bill working on the case, and U.S. Justice Foundation, they're working on the case and be kind of behind the scenes because they're not officially Kent's lawyers, so they can't talk to Kent. Right. They're just doing research. They're going back and looking at everything that's been filed, all that kind of stuff, blah, blah, blah. Well, about, I'm in contact with Kent, with Kent and also with Bill.
Okay.
But I can't tell Kent what I know because I'm just not at liberty to be, you know what I'm saying here? I'm the middleman.
You're kind of stuck. Yeah.
And I'm telling Kent, trust me here. Trust me here, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, they ain't trusting me very much. I mean, Kent's life's on the line. They're not trusting me a whole lot, to be honest with you. So I'm trying to hold back the wolves. They think maybe I'm stealing money. Thinking all that stuff. And so, 4 days, 4 days before the trial, this is May 12th, I think it was a year ago. I get a call from Bill. Says, hey, coach, I'm going to send you a brief. He says, I think we got a pretty good brief that we're going to file on behalf of Kent. I said, oh, man, great. So he sends it to me. I'm no lawyer. I read this thing. Say, wow, this is unbelievable. They prove it's not even a crime. What they're charging him with isn't even a crime. That, to me, I'm a layman, you know? So we send it down there to Kent, to the man who was doing all of Kent's outside work for him. And they take it to the public defender, and the public defender won't file it. He won't file this brief, this knockout punch, I'm thinking.
Okay, why not?
He won't file it. Well, Kent Hovland was on trial with another guy by the name of Paul Hansen.
All
They're
right.
both in jail together. Not together, but I'm sorry, folks, not trying to lose you, but it's got a good story, good end coming here, I'm telling you. And so Paul Hansen filed it.
Okay.
And I got word to Kent that this thing, it's out there and your guy won't file it. Kent calls him, says, I want that thing filed. Forced him to file it.
All right.
They filed it. This is on Thursday. The trial's on Monday. Friday night, we get word that the prosecution wants a delay. The answer
That's
this,
always a good thing.
It's brief.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
We think, man, we're getting somewhere here, right?
Yep.
The judge says, no. We're going to trial on Monday. She really wanted to hang him, man. She really wanted to hang him. Saturday night, about 6 o'clock, I get a phone call. The prosecution dropped the case.
Isn't that interesting?
The prosecution dropped the case because the brief that those guys wrote proved that what he did wasn't even a crime. Now, think about this, Doug. He'd had a hung jury in the previous trial.
Yeah.
We found out later, 11-1. 11-1. This is something right out of the movies, right?
Sure.
One guy hung out, hold on. He said, no, that's not a crime. It's not a crime.
12 angry men. Yep.
And Doug, if it hadn't been for that guy, they would have sentenced Ken Hovind to jail for the rest of his life for something that wasn't even a crime. Isn't that unbelievable?
It's sadly believable and certainly not surprising, but sad.
So he's out. He's out, and he's out and about, and it was a year ago today, and I've always wanted to tell people that I just made myself available, and Sheila Zielinski and Stuart Rhodes, and just throw names out there. The Lord just put the pieces in place. And
See, folks, this is what goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah,
you know,
see that.
Behind the camera or outside of camera range. And, you know, all we have to do is work together,
God's
show up.
People are there, Doug.
Yeah, yeah. There you have it.
So we have to be able to make those connections.
And you can make a difference. We can make a difference collectively and individually, but we can just show up. So it's not to say, you know, how great we are. No, it's saying that we have to plan our work and work our plan, right?
But our problem is, and you kind of alluded to this at the beginning of this segment, and I know I'll get a lot of amens out there from those who are in the audience that are listening. Our church, our Christian leadership is just horrendous, Doug. It's just horrendous. Yeah. And, you know, I was amazed. I said to somebody the other day when Trump met with those 1,000 evangelicals.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about
that. I'm thinking, wait a minute here. Aren't these the guys that got us in this mess?
That's a good point.
The same guys that he's talking, aren't they the ones who sat around over the last 30 years and watched all this darkness come upon us?
That's a great point.
And now they're going to go into a room and they're going to give Trump advice on what he needs to do?
What could possibly go wrong?
I said, they got the wrong guys in the room. It's time for some new wine and some new wineskins here. Those guys there, they're the ones that are responsible for getting us in the mess that we are in. And the reason that we are in the mess that we are in is because we have capitulated on every one of the most important issues of all.
Right.
In 1973, when they said that a woman had a right to kill an unborn baby, can you tell me what was going on with the church? Where were they? Where were they? In fact, Doug, it's all built upon the lie of the separation between the church and state, which, by the way, friends, is nowhere in any of our documents, not in the Constitution, not in the Declaration of Independence, not in the, nowhere, not in the Northwest Ordinance, not in any documents is there such a doctrine as the separation between the church and state. But in 1947, in the Everson versus the Board of Education decision, which was about funds going to private education, is really what it was about.
Mm-hmm.
Justice Hugo Black inserted a personal letter from Thomas Jefferson to the Danbury Baptists, written in 1801, where Thomas Jefferson came up with the term separation between the church and state. And if you read Jefferson's letter, Jefferson was saying that there's a separation between the church and the state, and that God created the church, and it was a garden, and there was a wall around the garden to protect the church.
Yep.
But it was never a wall. Jefferson didn't believe it was a wall to keep the church out of the government, for heaven's sakes. It was the purpose of it was to keep the government out of the church.
There you
right?
go. Yep.
But in Everson versus the Board of Education, 1947, they said there's a separation between the church and state. And what happened? 1961, they took Bible reading out of there. Why?
Yep.
Separation between the church and state. Stare decisis. We heard all about that stuff, right? Previous decided court cases, right?
That's right.
Case law, they call that now. 1963. They took prayer out of school. Why? Oh, a separation between the church and the state. 1973, they said a woman could kill her unborn baby. Based on what? Separation between the church and state. 1980, they took the Ten Commandments off of public buildings. Why?
Yep.
Based on the lie of the separation between the church and state. 2001, they legalized homosexual sodomy. Why? Because there's a separation between the church and state. Although there isn't, right? Case law, that's the way they're building this. And then we see what happens in Burgerfell here in 2015, whatever it was. And Doug, all of the great moral issues of our lifetime were never a vote of the people. Ever. Ever. It was always...
That's right.
It was always those terrorists in black robes. And folks, let me tell you something else that most people are not aware of. There are no Protestants on the Supreme Court. I don't know if you folks are aware of that or not. There are no Protestants on the Supreme Court. The makeup of the Supreme Court is 3 Jews and 6 Catholics, 5 now that Scalia is gone. No Protestants at all on the U.S. Supreme Court. So there is from a Christian perspective, as a Bible-believing Christian, I have no representation at all on that U.S. Supreme Court. None. You talk about taxation without representation, right? You talk about diversity on the court. We've got lesbians on there now, right? We got everything on there, but we don't have any Bible-believing Christians on the U.S. Supreme Court. Point being is this. All of those great moral decisions that have been made in our lifetime, Doug, none of them have been by the vote of the people nor the legislature. None of them. Every one of them have been a court decision. Here's an extremely critical issue. Folks, if you have a... Grab something right now. I'm sitting at the kitchen table, whatever you're doing, grab a pencil. I want you to write something down. This is a great guest. I want you to get Matt Troella on. Write this down. DefyTyrants.com. DefyTyrants.com. And I believe, Doug, that this is the vehicle for us to begin to fight back. And what Defy Tyrants, there's all kinds of great information on there, but what Defy Tyrants does is show us what has happened to us. Courts cannot make law. Friends, hear me. A Supreme Court decision is not law.
Thank you.
Obergefell is not the law of the land. Judge Roy Moore right now is in trouble in Alabama because why? In Alabama, what law is on the books in Alabama? Marriage is between a man and a woman, voted by 82% of the people of Alabama. The Obergefell decision, that district that overturned didn't even touch
right.
Alabama. Judge Roy Moore is upholding the law. And what we have got to come to understand is what has happened to us. The Supreme Court, the demonically controlled Supreme Court, has now taken control of the moral condition of America, and they're telling the rest of us what is and is not legal, so to speak, right? Matt Tuella, The Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrates, Courts Cannot Make Law, Defy Tyrants, is about the states rising up and saying no. Now, another quick story. Kim Davis, we all know that name.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
Can I tell you another great story? Folks, it ain't about me. I just want to encourage you. That's all I'm trying to do is encourage you that we can win. We can win. We don't have to settle for these ties and these defeats. We don't have to settle for them. We don't have to settle for them. The scriptures tell us my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So back August, last August, I live in Ohio.
Yep.
Kentucky's just south of us a while. Kim Davis, we all remember that, right?
She was
the clerk that said she wasn't going to marry sodomites down there, right? And so she has to go to court in front of Judge David Bunning, who, by the way, his dad was Jim Bunning, the great pitcher for the Philadelphia Phillies, and threw the perfect game and became senator.
Yep.
His son is now the district court down there. So we go down there, and it's a big, big hoop-de-doo. The sodomites are all there, and we're all there, and, you know, it's a circus going on, right? Well, then we get word, Doug, that the judge has thrown her in jail. Judge Bunning sentences her to jail. It's Thursday. It's Labor Day weekend. It's Thursday.
Yeah.
We're down there with our group of about 30 or 40 of us. I don't know how many we were. And we got word to what? Throwing her in jail? No chance. It's like Cool Hand Luke. You remember Cool Hand Luke?
Got
to get your mind right here, Luke. Got to get your mind. So they threw Kim Davis in jail until she got her mind right, right?
Right.
All right? Mm-hmm. And the judge says, we'll see you back here next Thursday. And if you got your mind right, then we'll let you out here. What's mind right being? Deny your oath,
right.
Bow your knee to the Supreme Court, and we'll all just get along here just fine, right? So what do we do, Doug? We go home and pray. So we all get a prayer meeting going on in the church. Well, I hope prayer meetings were going on in our church, but no. No, we jumped into action. Faith without works is dead, right? Faith without works is dead. So we hit the streets, and we got some flyers printed up, and we stood on street corners, and we handed out flyers saying, we got a rally for Kim Davis. This is Thursday night. Got a rally for Kim Davis on Saturday morning at the jail. Please come and stand with Kim Davis. And we handed them out at football games, and we just, this is a little small town, Grayson, Kentucky, and just a small town. Kim's in jail. She's in jail. It's Labor Day weekend. And, lo and behold, 10 o'clock Saturday morning, about 1,000 people showed up, Doug, out of those hills of Kentucky. They came at this rally for Kim Davis. We thought, man, we're on to something here. We're on to something. And so we thought, well, what are we going to do? Labor Day weekend, everybody's going to go boating and eating hot dogs, and Kim's going to rot there in jail. Nobody's going to know what's going on. So we came up with this idea. Let's go to the judge's house. Huh? Let's go up and visit Judge Bunning.
Sounds like a plan.
Sounds like a plan. So we did. We jumped in our car and we drove the distance up to outside of Cincinnati where Judge David Bunning lived. And
right.
We took our signs and we took our gospel and we went to Judge Bunning's neighborhood, brother. And we were at Judge Bunning's neighborhood for 6 hours. And you know what happened when we were there? Slow news. What a story. Slow news weekend. I mean, it's Labor Day. Come on. It's Labor Day. Every satellite truck within 100 miles is there.
There's no news.
And so what did we do? Flip was there. Flip Benham was with us. And so every chance we got, every interview, what did we tell them? Courts don't make law. And we came up with this one. Show us the law or set her free. Very simple, right?
Yeah.
Show us the law or set her free. And we had that mantra over and over and over. And
yep.
6 hours and we're done. We drive from Cincinnati back down to Grayson, Kentucky.
I do that all the time.
Yeah. I talk. If they tie my hands, I can't talk. And so we drive down there to Grayson, Kentucky, back to our hotel because Mike Huckabee's coming in on Tuesday morning. He's going to hold a Kim Davis rally as well.
Yep.
Remember this whole story?
I remember this. And folks, listen to this.
So we get up, we're at Judge Bunning's on Labor Day. It's Monday. We went to churches on Sunday trying to get churches involved. That's like pulling teeth. We go to Judge Bunning's on Monday. I get up Tuesday morning. Mike Huckabee's coming to town. I'm walking down into Motel 6 or wherever we're staying, some little cheapo hotel. You're down there eating that free donut or whatever they give you, watching the TV. And, hey, Doug, there I am. There I am on the Today Show. Now, I'm not talking, but there I am. You understand?
Right. Yep.
There I am. And then there's Flip. And they're talking about what's going on down in Grayson, Kentucky. Yep. And this blah, 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 this clerk that won't bow her knee and blah, all that. So we're kind of pumped up. So, man, we're getting somewhere, and Huckabee's coming. He's going to be here at 3 o'clock. Let's keep pushing. Maybe we can do something.
Yep.
Jumped in my car. I was going to go down and set up a table or something about 9 o'clock in the morning. And I went down, turned left, headed down the street by the jail, which is we were holding a rally outside the jail. And, Doug, as soon as I turned the corner, it was like out of a movie. The street was lined with good old boys. Holding signs. 9 o'clock in the morning. You know what's said on those signs? Courts don't make law. They got it. Well, 3:30 is when Mike Huckabee rally was planned.
Yeah.
We're out there 1:30. Doug, the stone gets rolled away. Kim Davis comes walking out of the jail. I never saw an eruption like that in my life. The people when she came walking out, and never went back to jail, and will never go back to jail. And can I tell you why? Because a group of vagabonds went out and did what Gideon did, shined a lot of light, made a lot of noise, and that genie ain't gone back in that bottle down there in Grayson, Kentucky. People now know courts don't make law. Now, friends, this whole homosexual marriage, this gay marriage issue, it isn't over, brother.
No,
it's the court has ruled, but that ain't the law. That becomes the law of the land only if we believe it is the law of the land.
And there's the problem. We have too many people who believe in this judicial supremacy crap.
That's right, brother.
This is the law. And really, Coach, boy, now I'm getting fired up because I am sick and tired of Christians and social conservatives and political pundits and these people who believe that they know better than anyone else in the world, and they'll argue the most minute point about some obscure Christian doctrine. They'll condemn the most, they'll condemn us for anything. All right. And they're always right. But hey, no, it's the law of the land. So we got to play within. We have to recognize the fact that we lost this one. No.
Rules are rules, right? Rules are rules.
Oh yeah, we've got to. Yeah, that's right. That's the other thing too. Yeah,
this ain't the NBA where you just call traveling whenever you want to. Rules are rules, right?
Yep.
Article 1, Section 1 of the U.S. Constitution says all legislative power is, and can't think of the word. All legislative power is embedded in the legislative branch, is what it says. Now, Doug, again, what does all mean? All legislative power. How much is left for the courts? There's none left for the courts. All legislative power, right?
Right.
All of it.
Yep.
And so we've got to come to understand that the separation between the church and state, prayer in school, Bible reading, abortion, Ten Commandments, sodomy, sodomized marriage, Ain't none of them a law. Here's what we want people to understand, and why we're so adamant about this, and this is why we're going to go down with Judge Roy Moore again. If Judge Roy Moore, Doug, were to walk into a federal court, which they're doing this monkey trial on him down there, kangaroo court,
August 6th, 7th, and 8th, by the way.
Yes, sir. Yep. All right. If Judge Moore gets in there, if somebody were to say to Judge Moore, or if Judge Moore were to say to them, listen, I'm a law-abiding judge. I'm law-abiding.
Right.
You show me the law, and I'll follow it. There's only one law they could show Judge Roy Moore. That's the law of the state of Alabama, which says marriage is between a man and a woman. Now, hey, Doug, why can't they show him the Supreme Court opinion? Because the Supreme Court opinion
it's not a law.
It ain't law.
That's right.
We just act like it is.
Yep.
In fact, did you know that in the Declaration of Independence, it talks about pretend legislation? Did you know that?
I did not know
that. Legislation. The judges are giving us pretend legislation. It's not law. Our founders warned us of the pretend legislation. So we're going to go down with Judge, we did it with Kim Davis, now we're going to go down with Judge Roy Moore and try to educate people and wake them up to do what? For the sovereign states to reclaim their 9th and 10th Amendment right to self-government. Self-government! Hey, Doug, I'm not the smartest guy, but I believe, I had a guy tell me that back in 1968 when he went to college, smoking a marijuana cigarette was a felony. 30 years in jail back in 1968. Yep. Smoking a running joint.
I remember those old Dragnet, half hour series.
Right?
Yeah.
And as far as I know, it's still a federal offense, isn't it? If you get,
I think so.
Maybe not smoking one, but has a certain amount, right?
Yep.
Except, Doug, not in Colorado. Why isn't it a federal offense in Colorado? Why, the people of the state of Colorado said, we don't like that law. We're going to legalize stuff here. Is Barack Obama trying to take away all their funding and all these, are they putting all these restrictions on Colorado because they're not following this federal law?
Isn't that interesting?
Isn't that interesting, right? And Doug, I was thinking concealed carry when I'm driving up here, and I think I'd like to bring my gun.
Yeah.
I can't carry that thing here in
Pennsylvania because, well, there's no reciprocity. Well, aside from that,
New York, I'm heading to Buffalo, right?
Oh, yeah, that's 5 years you go across the line.
But so what? I thought there was a constitutional right to it, but somewhere along the line they said, well, states have the right to make their own decision regarding guns, right? That's a state's rights issue. So here we are, abortion. Abortion's a state's rights issue. It's a medical issue. The states have the right to make their decision. No. No, they don't. Well, Doug, that's kind of schizophrenic,
but
isn't it?
I'm confused, Coach.
Yeah, we are confused. Yeah. The devil, Satan, is the author of confusion. So we have been following pretend legislation. And one of the things that we're doing our best to do is to alert everybody and awaken everybody. Courts cannot make law. It's not that they don't make law. They cannot make law. The law can be made by two ways. An initiative by the people.
That's right.
Citizens' initiative, or by their elected representatives, the Senate and the House. We don't even know how to make laws anymore, right? But the Supreme Court, when they come down and they issue a decision, they just tell us it's the law of the land.
In the most, it's my understanding, Coach, the most binding aspect of the Supreme Court issues a ruling, for example, in the Obergefell. The only applicability, or the only venue area that opinion would apply, is the case of Obergefell.
Five states. That decision has, even if that was the law of the land, it only impacts five states. The ones of the five states who were part of the lawsuit that came to them.
Oh, I understand. Okay, yeah, the parties who are directly involved.
Yeah, it doesn't affect Alabama. Yep. They weren't part of it.
That's right. Right? And just to be clear, Judge Roy Moore is facing trial for
what? Well, he's already suspended.
Or suspended.
With pay.
Okay.
And he's going to have a hearing before what they call a judicial inquiry commission, which is just a kangaroo
court.
This
is an administrative thing.
Unelected lawyers going to get together and say he's been a bad boy. The judicial inquiry committee was put in there for guys who were, they were sleeping around or stealing or whatever. It was a disciplinary thing. It wasn't a disciplinary thing. They don't have the authority to do what they're trying to do to Judge Roy Moore. But see, Doug, this is so huge. Because he is standing between the people and this ungodly ruling. That is called the doctrine of interposition. Folks, this is all at defytyrants.com. Defytyrants.com. And again, to get Matt Torello on there, he'd be a great guest and he'll explain all this.
Yeah, we have to get him on.
This is very simple, folks. This is very, very simple. The states created the feds.
Okay.
The feds didn't create the states. The first 10 amendments of the Constitution are not rights. People say, I got my First Amendment right.
Right.
No. there are limitations on the government. It should be the Bill of Limitations.
That's true.
Right? Yep. Congress shall make no law. The right of the people to keep and bear arms.
That's right.
It limits what the government is able to do.
Yep.
We have it backwards. We think the Constitution grants our rights when it doesn't. But the Ninth and the Tenth Amendment says all powers not given specifically belong to who? To the people and to the states, right?
That's right.
So Judge Roy Moore is standing in what they call interposition, and that means this. It happens in our homes sometimes. Hopefully not too often, but when I'd go home, if I was a rowdy kid and I went home and my dad was told me to mow the yard and I didn't mow the yard and he got that belt out and he was going to wail on me for that belt, and I really had a pretty good reason for not mowing the yard, and my mom knew that good reason. You know what my mom did? She interposed. She stood between my dad and me and protected me from an unjust ruling. Do you understand it?
No, I get that.
This is so simple, isn't it? So when the federal government says, hey, listen, we're going to change the entire American culture. Yeah. We're going to change Western civilization, and we're going to redefine marriage as a marriage between a man and a man. And all of you people down there in Alabama and in Pennsylvania and Ohio, you got to follow along. Somebody's got to stand up and stand between that tyrant and the people. That's Judge Roy Moore. He's standing up and saying, no, listen, guys, you're overstepping your bounds. We have a law here in the state of Alabama. Marriage is between a man and a woman. Only 82% of the people voted it that way. By the way, he said, I'm upholding the law.
And there it is.
I'm not breaking the law.
Yeah.
Kim Davis wasn't breaking the law. She was upholding the law. She swore an oath to what? The Constitution of the state of Kentucky to uphold her. So they were forcing her to violate her oath.
Yep.
Judge Roy Moore. And by the way, it's not just him. It was an 8-1 vote on the Supreme Court. He recused himself. 8 other judges on the Supreme Court said, no, that law does not apply here. We have our own law, and that Obergefell decision does not cancel that law. And so because they know that Judge Moore has been through this before, because they know that Judge Moore is not going to bend and going to bow, they got to get rid of him, Doug. So that's why this battle is so huge. We're on the ground right now. I'm not. I'm here. But we've got folks on the ground right now who are visiting churches and handing out flyers and standing on the street doing exactly what we did with Kim Davis. We are now doing with Judge Roy Moore in the state of Alabama, trying to inform and educate people just in civics 101 that this is tyranny and we cannot let this thing go on. So it's really, really big on the 6th, 7th, and 8th when we're down in Alabama, and anybody can come down there, stand with us. We'll have us a grand old time. Doug, it's pretty simple, isn't it?
Well, you know, I'm still confused, Coach. No, it is simple, and I don't want to make light of it, because all we need to do is show up.
All we need to do is show up. Say that again.
All we need to do is show up.
Brother, I'm telling you.
And you know, you've taught me a lot, and folks, I've got to say that in for the length of time I've been doing this, which has not been that long relative to others, and how sloppy I can be, and how inarticulate I am, admittedly so. If I can in some small way impact others and make a difference. You know, I owe a lot to others, including you, Coach. And as I'm sitting here looking at emails coming in, and feel free, folks, to send us an email at studio@hagman.com. We've got people right now listening to us. I believe all 50 states, as we speak, are represented. We've got Canada, Finland, Norway, Germany, Ireland, the UK, and I don't know what time, you know. I mean, think about how many people we're reaching. Australia, New Zealand, Iceland. Which, okay, that's interesting. But thank you. But thank you. So we are attempting to make a difference. I know Coach Dave Dobmeier is making a difference. And folks, if you're joining us late, Coach Dave Dobmeier, CoachDaveLive.com. Do me a favor. Support Coach Dave Dobmeier. You've got a donate button on your website, right?
Yeah, we do. We do.
Okay. All right. And you know, if you, please, let's support him both by physically being there, and we can make a difference. Let's support him tomorrow if you're in the Buffalo area, or if you're in New York State, or anywhere in the continental United States, or in Canada. Show up to Buffalo. Email coach at coachdavelive.com. That's coach at coachdavelive.com, and just say this.
Hey, Doug,
where do I show up?
Doug,
yeah, go ahead.
We're, folks, listen. We're at the crossroads of Western civilization.
Yep.
You know, sometimes I love to use sports analogies just because I think everybody can kind of relate to them, you know. I'm a big sports fan. And as a football coach, when I was coaching, I always had kind of a sixth sense. And if you're ever watching a game, you can feel it too, that man, this is a big play.
Yep.
This is a big, it might be in the second quarter, it might be in the third quarter, it might be late, but you know, man, this is a big play. The whole game can turn, right?
That's right.
Sports fans, we understand that, right?
Yep.
Now, here's what it is, folks. You never know when that play is. You never know. And you know what else you don't know? All the guys who make those great plays in the basketball games, in the football games, in the base, Bill Mazeroski, you remember that name? Bill Mazeroski had a home run 1961 when the Pittsburgh Pirates beat the New York Yankees in the bottom of the ninth inning. Bill Mazeroski. Did Bill Mazeroski know when he stepped to the plate that it was going to be a life-changing moment for him? Did he have any idea that that one time at the plate was going to be it? He would be remembered as a hero forever in Pittsburgh. Because of that home run he hit over the left field fence. And so here we are today. What if you're the home run hitter? What if you're the guy who's going to score the touchdown? What if you show up and you just show up and you do something? You don't even think it's a big deal, but you come across and you hand a flyer to a person who says, oh my goodness. And this person, the Lord put right in your place because that person's going to take that flyer and get it to a person who can really do something with that information. And I'm telling you, we are living in a time right now where the opportunity to make a difference has never been greater. I know this,
man.
Doug. Most heroes had no idea they were going to be one.
That's right. They had
no idea. They just showed up and they made their play. And when the game was over, they were the hero. History's full of them. And I just say, man, make yourself available. Make yourself available to be the guy that drives in that winning run. And you don't know who that person that you're going to influence might be.
Yeah, you don't know your reach or your impact. And I think you said it one time, and I'm not sure the exact terms that you used, the results are up to God.
Duties are ours.
Okay, there you
results
go.
Results belong to God. John Adams said that, or maybe he was saying John Adams. Yeah,
was it?
Duty
okay.
is ours.
All right.
The results belong to God.
All right.
Yeah, and so, yeah, Doug, quick. Again, I mean...
There you have it. Okay, I mean, it's just that simple. And you know, we're hobbled. I think, you know, I don't know if you're mic'd up, Eric, but, I mean, you and I this week have talked a lot about self-imposed limitations. And I think that we're all guilty
Amen.
Of that, you know? So if you're listening to this program, I mean, if we have people from Europe, we do, and all, you know, the continents, my goodness, people are thirsty. They're hungry for being able to influence and impact change. What do you do? Just show up.
We're looking for leadership, Doug.
Yeah.
We're hungry. Everything, John Maxwell, a Christian author, says everything rises and falls on leadership. Let me give you an example. Something's going on right now. Maybe Mike Heath, maybe he's listening as he's rolling this way to be with us tomorrow from Augusta, Maine. He held a press conference today in Augusta, Maine, and he and his friend Paul Madore have launched a citizens initiative in the state of Maine entitled equal rights, not special rights. And they are getting a citizens' initiative to roll back homosexuality as a protected class. I might be a little bit wrong with my wording, right, in the state of Maine. Now you say, Coach, why is that important? Mike, why is that important? Well, look around, Doug. Look around at what's happening in America. Businesses are going out of business because why? Homosexuals are coming and making them bake cakes, right?
Right.
They're coming in, making them do flowers at their weddings. We are seeing now that this homosexual juggernaut has not become equal rights. That's what they told us they wanted. Yeah. Equal rights. But Doug, it's not equal rights. It's special rights.
That's
we
right.
now have granted them special rights. So Mike and Paul, it seems like a Herculean task. How are you ever going to get all those signatures? How are you guys going to do that? I don't know, but I'm going to try.
Yep.
I'm going to try. And we're going to try to get this thing. Heck with the governor.
Yeah.
Heck with the state legislator. We're going to let the people decide whether they want special rights for homosexuals or not. These kind of things, brother, this is what we have to begin to do.
Right.
We have to begin. You can't just play the games you think you'll win.
You can't just play the games you think you'll win. And if I can add to that, I think you have to re-strategize, perhaps, or rethink your strategy given the changed playing field, maybe? I mean, does that sound right? Or
Well, how about this one? Jesus told us, I can never figure this one out, really. It took me a while. Jesus said to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove.
Right.
I got pondering on that, Doug. When I think of something wise, I don't think of a snake. Do you think of a snake as being wise?
Good point. No.
I think of a fox.
Yeah.
An owl.
Yeah.
But not a snake.
No, I look at a snake as more of a peril or something deadly.
Yeah.
You know.
Or deceptive.
There
right?
you go. Yeah.
So Jesus himself said, be wise as a serpent. In other words, we know who the serpent represents, right?
Right.
Jesus is saying, study your enemy. Be wise as, look how he moves and how he operates, how he gets things done. Be wise as he is. Now, harmless. Don't be doing things illegal, but understand the techniques that he's using. In fact, Jesus went on to say that the children of darkness are in their time more knowledgeable than the children of the light. Isn't that something? And so what we have to do is look at some of these initiatives and some of these things others that the enemy has done and use those same techniques. There's another parallel example as well, is when David killed Goliath.
Yeah.
David cut off Goliath's head. A lot of people don't know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What did he cut his head off with?
That I don't know.
His own sword. David took Goliath's sword and cut off Goliath's head with his own sword, meaning that the weapons that they are using against you can also be used against them if we're smart enough to understand how to do it. And so I ask this question, when are we going to start playing a little bit of offense? Where are the Christian lawsuits? Where are the churches rising up and filing multi-million dollar lawsuits against the homosexuals and against the, where are those, Doug? Well, that's part of why we lose, is because we just don't think that's very Christian to do that.
We will use your democratic laws to invade you, your religious laws to conquer you, basically, reference from Archbishop, some Archbishop over in Turkey, I think. Very good points all. And of course, that validates, what you said validates my, one of my tenets, which is, keep your friends close and your enemies under surveillance.
Right.
Kidding. You're exactly right. You've got Muslims out there who are suing into oblivion, Baker.
Using our laws.
That's right. Against us.
Right.
That's right.
And we're not smart enough to figure out how we can turn this thing around and use those laws against them. See,
that's right.
We got stinking thinking, brother. We've got to change. You know what it is, Doug? We don't think we can win.
Well, we've been programmed to think that.
And not only that, we don't think we're supposed to. We think it's just going to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse, and then the Lord's going to come and take his ball and go home. Well, go throw a fit at the end. And
okay, so, and I'm glad you brought that up, because is that anything like, for example, well, Christians, you know, we're not supposed to litigate, or we're not supposed to be litigious. If you're really a true Christian, you will turn the other cheek. You won't. I mean, is that what you're saying here?
Well, the scripture is very clear. You don't take your brother to court. You don't take your brother, right? But even Paul appealed to his Roman citizenship.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
He said, I'm a Roman.
Yeah.
I'm a Roman. And so they had to give him his Roman. So those laws, they're all put in place for us to be able to follow as well. But, goodness, we got a few minutes left here, 5 minutes for the break.
Yep.
Doug,
yep.
The old Romans 13 hammer comes along, right? That if we're good Christians, we will obey the authorities, right?
That's right.
Huh? Well, yeah. But who's the ultimate authority? Right?
Yeah.
And so when a law violates the laws of God, we know from the scriptures, which do you do? Do you obey God or do you obey man?
Well, it's the fault. A law that violates God's law is no law at all.
Not a law. It's not a law. So I go to the abortion clinic. We'll do that tomorrow morning. We'll go there. There'll probably be a cop there. We have one in Columbus, Ohio.
All right.
There's a cop that stands there. They hire a special duty cop. Doug. They're murdering people right behind him. And he's watching to see if we step foot on the property. Right? And I say to him, Sean, come on, man. They're killing babies. And he says, it's legal, coach.
But it's not.
It's not legal. It's not legal. But, Doug, we in the church think that way, too. See? Our pastors won't oppose abortion. They think it's legal.
Yeah, the quickest way to get kicked out of a church is to talk about abortion.
That's true.
You know, or to, yeah, it's, I, okay.
So, trying to wrap this whole thing up at this hour, defytyrants.com, the doctrine of the lesser magistrate is the vehicle to be able to do this.
Okay.
Doug, the precedent's already set. We have states' rights in so many different areas.
Yeah.
Well, we just saw them on this latest abortion thing, this latest ruling. It just came down a month ago.
Yeah.
They had to do gymnastics to be able to even make that thing make sense, because it was clearly a states' rights issue, and then they said, no, it's not a states' rights issue in this situation. So, again, through an educational process, we're going to win with Judge Roy Moore, because we're going to have educated the people. And not only will we have educated the people, we're going to bring pressure to bear on those ones who are supposed to be our public servants. We can't just sit back and say, oh, you get whatever you guys do, that's okay. We elected you, that's okay. No, it's not okay. It's not. Hey, Doug, people are really ticked about Hillary. And why? They're ticked because, so that ain't right.
Well, yeah.
That ain't right. If I did that, I couldn't get away with it, right?
Well, yeah, obviously. And that's a really good point. I mean, look at this. Look at how in your face this whole thing is and was, or was and is and continues to be. Not that Dallas was not or is not important, but certainly, as you pointed out earlier, that knocked
her off the front page,
yeah,
didn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, people, men and women, are upset at, the laws.
So what are we going to do?
Well, okay. As Christian leaders, what do we do?
Well, we don't have any leaders. We don't have any leaders. And the leaders that we have, Doug, have become so compromised. Shocking news here, July 8th, folks. The Lord is not a Republican. In fact, he's not even an American. And so this idea that we're going to be able to change the course of America through the political process is folly. Jesus said, Matthew 13, that upon this rock he would build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church.
Right.
But the gates of hell will prevail against John Boehner. They will prevail against Ted Cruz. The gates of hell will prevail against the Republicans. It will prevail against the conservatives. As Flip often says, conservatism is pretend salt. It's just pretend salt, right? And so we're taking this powerful gospel of Jesus Christ and we're handing it off to elected officials and think they'll do what our gospel preachers won't do.
Folks, you're listening to Coach Dave Dobenmeyer, who I like to call America's Coach, CoachDaveLive.com. Stay right where you're at. Gonna be right back.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.